Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
It's a Wednesday, but it's a Friday. It's our Friday. Hopefully you have a Friday today with Thursday and Friday off. If not, you got to grind on Friday. We appreciate it, man. We appreciate it. But this is our Friday, so we're spending it like a Friday. Is it just me's rolling in? Let's get to some more of these. Is it just me, or I'm thankful Paxton Lynch is not our quarterback? Okay. Took care of that.
Seriously, though.
Are you thankful? Yes, I am.
Okay, how much worse could it be?
What do you mean, how much worse could it be?
I mean...
Oh, as bad as it is? Could it be worse?
Yeah.
Yes, it could be worse. He could be our starting quarterback.
Well, I mean, he would only be our starter for a minute until... something happened. he couldn't... maintain being the third quarterback in Saskatchewan.
He's been demoted to QB4. Just how many quarterbacks do they carry on the Rough Riders roster?
I don't know, but I'm thinking it's kind of almost like playing quarterback in Canada is like the exchange rate. You know, you just don't get the same value for your money over there.
Right.
So, or maybe get more value. I don't know how the exchange works over there, but something.
All right, here's one. Is it just me or it's even more of a debacle coming up Sunday Night Football with Andy Reid's bye week record factored in? Yeah. So in case you missed it, the Broncos-Chiefs game, which is scheduled for December 5th, was originally scheduled for an 11 a.m. kickoff, has now been flexed to Sunday night. NBC wants to get Patrick Mahomes on national television.
Mm-hmm.
And the Broncos are being served up as the sacrificial lamb. So now, any hope that you had of maybe, you know, hey, maybe nobody will see this type thing.
Right.
It'll just be isolated to an 11 a.m. game, and there'll be some national cut-ins. Hey, look at Mahomes finding Travis Kelce, you know, for that kind of thing. Instead, it's going to be for everybody to see nationwide. Well, add this to the misery. Kansas City's coming off their bye week for this game.
Right.
Here's Andy Reid's record coming off a bye. 20-3.
So you're telling me there's a chance, Mike.
20-3, counting playoffs when they have a bye week.
Okay.
7-2. So anytime Andy Reid has an extra week to prepare for a game, his team's playoffs and regular season combined, 27-5. Now, you may be asking, what about with Patrick Mahomes? Oh, the news gets better. Patrick Mahomes coming off a bye week. Oh, this is in the playoffs. I'm sorry. Overall with Mahomes. Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Overall with Mahomes. Reed is 7-0 after a bye. Never lost a bye game.
Oh, with Mahomes?
With Mahomes. And in those games, they average over 34 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, one thing I'll give the Broncos. They've lost 11 straight to the Chiefs. They don't score against the Chiefs, but they do tend to hold them below their season point average.
Yes. So we lose, but we don't lose by a ton.
Correct.
Right. Which is good.
Let's get to some more.
I guess.
Let's get to some more. Is it just me? Philip Lindsay stinks. Get over it, buff boy. I'm sick and tired of all this love for a guy who came from a loser football program and can't play dead in the Western. He is the Drew Locke of running backs. Woo!
Now, come on. He did go to a Pro Bowl as a rookie, undrafted. Was he not the first undrafted rookie in the history? He has 2 1,000-yard seasons. I mean, Drew Luck is the fourth quarterback at the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Let's not go that far to compare him to Drew Luck.
That's a bit harsh.
Yeah.
A bit harsh, but yeah. Okay. Time now for our keys to the game presented by Nova Home Loans. Mark, as you look ahead to Broncos Chargers all the way over there on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
How you break it down?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, there's several things, I think, as you look at the Chargers, and I mean, that's where you've got to start. They've got on the offensive side, they've got several elite players that you have to contend with. Obviously, Herbert has been unbelievable. And he was great last weekend. Eckler is a phenomenal player. The guy that we've always had trouble with, who's one of the most underrated players in the league, regardless of position, is Keenan Allen. So you're talking about three big time weapons right there alone that the Chargers seem to have. Mike Williams is starting to play better. Like, you're going to have to find a way to shut those guys down, to shut that offense down, and to limit them to a degree. Also Slater, the kid they drafted left tackle, is an elite player. So you got to shut, the key is shutting them down, you know, and then obviously the same key that we talk about all the time, not falling out of balance, not allowing yourself, you know, playing with a lead and not allowing yourself, Mike, to fall out of that balance, because you know, as well as I do, this offensive staff and this offensive coordinator cannot wait to quit running the ball. So what you have to do as players, you have to be successful on every run. Otherwise, you're not going to get to run the ball because your coach won't allow it and your head coach won't hold them accountable. So those are the things that I look at that have to happen for the Broncos to be successful. Do I have faith? Not much. Could it happen? It might. But, I mean, it seems like it's the same thing we talk about every week. That we do the same thing every week, and you know, and every now and again you'll fall into something where you're running the ball really well and you don't get out of it, and you win a game against, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, and everybody's really excited about it, and then the next week you fall right back into the rhythm of, oh well, guess what, this didn't work very well, so let's just get back to doing what we do, which is garbage.
Okay. Justin Herbert, where are you at with him?
Oh, Justin Herbert's one of the young quarterbacks. Did they have some lulls
for about a month there?
But they had a couple of lulls. Yes, he is really good, just really good. So you know, I mean, you tell me. I mean, we've got two quarterbacks in this division, Mike, that are elite level potential. One is already proven to be a unicorn. The other guy is on the cusp of moving from, you know, elite franchise guy to unicorn status.
I'm not there yet with him.
I'm not either.
I'm not there yet. I was hoping for a Justin Herbert regression this year, because otherwise the only alternative is that you get two boogeymen, two unicorns in your division. You still got one. I'm not yet sold on Herbert. Look, he's good. He's good. I'd love to have him. Okay, sure. I'd love to have him, but I'm not convinced yet that we're looking at a truly, truly elite quarterback.
No,
not
but,
yet.
But you have to admit that if you look at him, he's in that next tier down. You know, the guys that operate as franchise quarterbacks for a dozen years, he is in that Matt Ryan. He is in that,
okay,
you know, that next tier of quarterback.
Okay. Matt Ryan, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan, Philip Rivers.
Right. He's in that next tier of quarterbacks.
Type guys. Okay.
And he's
you're going to win a lot of games with him, but are you convinced you're looking at a Super Bowl, hop on my back, boys, let me carry you home type
No,
thing.
I'm not. I'm with you. I'm not ready to go there yet. But I mean, that is one of those things. Like, there is potential there.
Yeah.
Whereas here, what we said all along, hey, Teddy Bridgewater has all those intangibles, but he's not the quarterback of the He's not. He's not the quarterback of the future. And so you have to, you know, you have to kind of understand where you sit. You've got the potential of Herbert developing into the unicorn type.
All right, we'll see. Those are our keys to the game presented by Nova Home Loans. More Is It Just Me's coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Well, this isn't just me Friday. Yep, today's our Friday, so we're getting loose. On the text line, is it just me or is this Evans' time to shine, to linger? Oh, yeah, they're coming. They're coming, folks. You can
let it linger.
Oh, yes. To linger. Oh, yes. Just got the order yesterday.
You got the order yesterday.
I got the order that they're coming.
The jammies?
The jammies.
I still have my jammies from last year's Christmas shoot.
Yeah, right? Me too. Mm-hmm. In fact, I might wear the pants tomorrow night.
Please stop.
Those things are comfortable.
Oh, I wear the jammy pants all the time. The Christmas jammy pants all the time. They're awesome.
Ken and Aurora, is it just me or will Vic probably be eating a hamburger for Thanksgiving?
Oh, my gosh.
He was high.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I don't know. He probably doesn't even eat Thanksgiving. He's too busy creating, you know, a game plan that the rest of the league is going to be copying.
Good point. Good point.
He's creating a dark web game plan right now as we speak.
That's right. That's right. Is it just me or it's all Matt Nagy's fault for Justin Fields?
It's all Matt, yeah. Yeah.
One's fault other than everybody's.
He had to go on yesterday to dispute a report that he will be fired after this game tomorrow.
I hope he doesn't get fired after the game tomorrow because I've got him next week. I just got my game. I've got Arizona at Chicago.
Ooh.
Be the first time I've done a game in Chicago.
That'll be fun.
I've done the Bears, but I did them in Philly a couple years ago.
You have any schedule games beyond that? Do you know what's coming up? Just that?
That's the only one right now. I guess we're going week to week now.
Well, yeah, they probably want to see what's going to get flexed and moved around and all
right.
That kind of stuff. So
yeah, that's
they don't
exactly
want to commit too far ahead.
Right, that's kind of what they're doing. But Arizona, obviously, the way Arizona's playing, that's exciting. And anyhow, and then obviously, you know, Matt Nagy is a guy that I have a connection with, so I hope he doesn't get fired. That would be awkward.
It's no one's fault other than everybody's.
It might be awkward anyhow. It's not going to be awkward. He and I are tight, but, I mean, yes. Isn't it funny that Chicago couldn't do anything and then all of a sudden what's-his-head gets hurt and they put together a couple touchdown drives? That's not weird to anybody?
What's-his-head? You mean Justin Fields?
No. Justin Fields gets hurt and then Andy Dalton comes in, right. And they drive the length of the field. The other thing I've noticed, you know, how you cut highlight packages. This is the disingenuous narrative that floats. That I guess, Mike, whatever. You know, everybody's got their issues, right? I just want to be honest about stuff, right? I just want to tell you the way it is. And listen, there's always going to be some type of bias because, you know, I believe in the things that I believe in. Now, the things that I believe in did, in fact, help, you know, put three championship rings on my fingers. So I think they've got some merit to them, correct?
Sure.
Like, I mean,
sure.
You know, again, it's from my perspective. But I'm watching the highlight package. And based on the highlight package I saw of the Bears game, Justin Fields looked sharp. He threw an over route on time. He had a boot keep out the back end where, you know, they had a layered route and he hit the intermediate throw on the sideline and it looked really, really good. right? And it was like, man, like he looks good based on the highlight package. He went 4 of 11 and got sacked twice. No touchdowns, no interceptions. The highlight package I watched had all 4 of his completions on it. And it becomes,
that's why they call it a highlight package.
Right, I understand it. But the way the narrative gets created is Justin Fields just needs the cat from Ohio State, Day. Is if Day came and coached Chicago Bears, then we'd be set. Like then we'd figure it out.
Well, take a look at the play that he got hurt on. And it was everything that we have criticized Drew Lock for. Taking off at the first sign of pressure, even pressure that's not there, seeing color and taking off. And in the case of taking off immediately and not seeing that he had an easy dump down pass to David Montgomery that would have gone for a big gain. Instead, he kept it, held on to it, ran with it, got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's what we've talked about at length for Drew Lock and a lot of these young quarterbacks who are mobile, make something out of nothing quarterbacks, which is great until they ultimately get hurt, which they will.
Right.
Which they will. It's just, you can count on it.
Yeah.
Until they learn how to play quarterback.
Right. Yeah, I guess, I didn't think about it the way you just did. Like, you just kind of basically put me in the corner right there. You gave me a timeout. That's why they call it a highlight package.
Right. Now, if you want to put together a low light package, if you want to put together,
maybe that should be my job.
If you want to put together a, hey, he can't read defenses package, or a, hey, he takes off at the first sign of perceived pressure package, sure. But if your job is to put together a highlight package, you're going to take his hey, I could put together a Tim Tebow passing highlight package, believe it or not, from his games. I could.
Yeah, thank you so much. God bless y'all.
There'd only be a few of them, but I could technically put together right. a highlight package that would actually make it look like he was a good thrower of the football.
I'm going to disagree. You could put together a highlight package of successful plays, but uh-huh. you could not put together a highlight package of he's a good thrower right. of the football.
Right. There's a slant. Oh, there's another slant. There's another slant. There's a lot of running around, a little loft pass. But, you know, I could probably make it work. Okay, coming up next, 4 Down Territory. Joel Klatt joins us at 8 o'clock. Coming up, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Be quiet. I'm answering the question.
This is 4 Down Territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal foul, 69. Offense. He was giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arms.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Freaking bomb. You taste so good.
Ready, Brad. First down.
I mean, it speaks volumes to this team and, like, how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomenon.
Yep.
Phenomenon.
So, Mark, what was your reaction when you heard that NBC had flexed next weekend's Broncos-Kansas City game to prime time?
I cried a little bit. just a little bit.
Solitary tear came down your cheek?
Yeah. No, I mean, I understood. I guess I understood why they did it. You know, I just am like, do we really need nationally to see this debacle again? No, but, you know, that's going to be the way it is, I suppose.
Yeah, I was hoping for a nice little 11 a.m. kickoff. Kind of anonymous, you know? You just kind of, we'll operate in our own little...
Right.
Small little world. And instead now it gets flexed. So now it's on national TV. Andy Reid coming off a bye week in which in his career he is a combined playoffs and regular season 27-5 after a bye and 7-0 with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I just, you know, things where you hope that, hey, you know, it's, Let's just keep this between us. You know, every
right,
now and again,
right.
nationally, you
right.
know, the only thing you see nationally every now and again is is, you know, Vic Fangio's been good in the red. The Broncos have been good in the red zone. You know, you get a red zone stop on Mahomes, and the nation goes, hey, man, the Broncos, the red zone defense, not too bad. You're watching the red zone channel. Like, that's the only time it flashes up, you know, and you can walk away feeling almost a little bit of pride in that. And, you know, it's, and then at the end of the day, you look at the final score, and it's, you know, it's 23, respectable for Kansas City. And it's, you know, 23-3, 23-6, something like that. And at the end of the day, it's just another double-digit loss for the Broncos.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Rudy on the move. He gets a block by Fant. He is in the secondary again. Hits the hole hard. And Ian Apolt takes it for a first down up to the 44. That's a gain of 19 for Lindsey, who is really running well.
So the Houston Texans cutting, releasing Philip Lindsey is... Are we still in that world that, hey, Philip Lindsey just needs to be used the right way? Philip Lindsey, if given the right chance, can be a very good player in this league? Or is that feeling starting to diminish out there?
I think that.
Should it be diminishing out there?
You will always have your staunch, diehard Philip Lindsey supporters. That's just going to go without saying. And, you know, they'll be in the right system, or how do you know he can't catch the ball? He never gets the opportunity, or he could be a third down. You know, he'll always have that contingent of fans. But this is no longer, this is a guy they signed, right? This is a guy they went after. And now, I mean, you're talking about a Houston Texans team that's won, what, two or three games?
Just beat the Titans.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I mean, if you want to continue to you know, it's not his fault or whatever. And maybe it's not. Who knows? Maybe they're just cleaning house. I don't know what they're doing. But I just think that, as I've always said, and yeah, I just think he's very limited in what he can do.
Next,
that's all.
In four down territory.
Third down.
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
All right, Turkey Day tomorrow. We got three games. Bears at the Lions, 10:30 our time, followed up by Raiders at the Cowboys, and then Bills at the Saints. Winners, who you got?
So, what'd you say, Bill? Raiders at Cowboys. I'm going to take the Cowboys because the Raiders are raidering right now.
They are raidering.
They are just so hardcore raidering. And then I'm going to go, boy...
It's a tough one to you. You love yourself some Saints. Not as much as you love some yourself some 49ers, but...
Yeah, I just...
You're a Saints fan.
I don't know what the Saints... I'm going to take the Bills. The Bills are... It's more about the Bills kind of struggling. But the Saints, I mean, last weekend, no Kamara, no Armstead at left tackle, no Ramchek at right tackle, no Andres Pete at left guard. Oh my gosh. I mean, they missed it. There was a couple other guys that were out. Juwan Johnson, their tight end, that's a red zone guy. I mean, they were, and Taysom Hill was out. So, you know, and the Simisiah played poorly early and played actually really well late, but you can't miss eight guys on your starting offense and think you're going to be able to overcome that. So I'll go Bills.
Okay. And Bears, Lions?
Bears. Benny.
And that's from Benny, who's a Detroit fan. All right, let's just move.
It's got to be. It better be Chicago, because if it's not, that's going to create. I mean, there's still a chance that everybody gets fired, but there's a better chance if you lose to Detroit. Come on. I'm taking the Bears.
All right. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
It's no one's fault other than everybody's.
Well, Matt Nagy dispelling a report that he will be fired. Boy, that's uncomfortable. Hey, coach, what's your reaction to the report that you'll be fired after tomorrow's game, win or lose? He disputed that.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say if they lose to the Lions, he'll be fired.
Duff.
And he should be. But if you beat the Lions, do you think this is really Matt Nagy's fault? You like Matt Nagy. You're a fan of Nagy. Do you really think that this is Nagy's fault?
Well, I mean,
is he held back Justin Fields?
It's no one's fault other than everybody's.
That has has no merit.
That's what everyone on ESPN tells me.
Yeah, well, ESPN is foolish for saying that. You know what? Whatever. Like, this is the same guy who won 12 games with Mitchell Trubisky and went to the playoffs last year with Mitchell Trubisky playing quarterback. So he forgot how to coach all of a sudden. Doesn't know how to take a young, kind of inexperienced quarterback and be successful with him. He did it with Mitchell Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky started 13 games in North Carolina. And we all know that he wasn't the answer.
How about your boy?
I know D-Max, listen, there's another D-Max guy.
Yeah. How about your boy, Jason Garrett?
Coach, did Josh Allen, sorry.
What's next for Garrett?
That's a great question. I don't know what's next for Jason.
He's one of those guys. He'll keep bouncing around. He'll land on his feet.
Yeah, I mean, he'll go. I mean,
he's a good offensive guy.
How about new?
When you're trying to run a system and the head coach says, "I want you to change what you're doing because that's not what Bill Belichick likes," I think you're pretty much doomed. You know, I think you're pretty much doomed. So. So far, Joe Judge fired their O-line coach last year in the middle of the season. Now he's fired their offensive coordinator in the middle of the season. I think that when you hire people, you need to empower those people to run what they know and what they're best at and what they feel like their group up front can do the best. And what their talent level does the best. There is nothing that I can tell you about the Giants right now that I can look at and say, wow, they do this really well. There's nothing I can look at. Now I think that Jason Garrett, like, he's as static as anybody I watch on film, meaning line up and just play. Is that because he doesn't believe in motion and shifts? Is that because his guys can't handle motion and shifts and changing, you know, like all that stuff? He'll line up in two tights, like West slot, two tights on one side and a slot formation on the other side, and they'll just stay in it the whole time. So from that standpoint, not a lot of communication has to get done from the defensive side. If you just line up and stuff and stay in it, you don't, you know, there's not a lot of motion, shift, adjust to motion, all that kind of stuff. You don't. So my question is that because your players can't handle it? Is that because they jump off sides? Is that because they don't get lined up right? They have illegal formations? Like, why is that?
Joel Klatt will join us coming up just after 8 o'clock. Question mark coming up at 8. More Is It Just Me's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Got so much love. Little Genie.
So, on this Friday, this is our Friday, Is It Just Me? Is It Just Me? But apparently we triggered our man, D-Mac.
Yeah, he's...
Coach, did Josh Allen... Oh, sorry.
On Twitter this morning, up early listening to Schlereth and Evans, they're trashing Daniel Jones as a D-Mac guy. Of course, Herbert, Murray, Mahomes, and Allen would also be D-Mac guys. But let's ignore that. We're not ignoring that. In fact, that's... I give you credit. I really do give him credit because that's the beauty of the pick a quarterback, any quarterback, fill in the blank draft strategy is that you get to just cherry pick your wins, you know, and you get to overlook your losses. And
right.
it's like the Hall of Fame Five, you know, you get to stand up and say, I told you about Josh Allen. I told you about Lamar Jackson. That's the beauty of pick any one of the five. You just take the wins, right? But left unsaid is the fact that 2 days before the draft, he was on record as saying if left up to him, he would take Darnold, Mayfield, and Rosen before he'd ever get to Allen or Jackson. The only reason he was talking up Allen and Jackson was because the other two were gone and because Rosen's stock was dropping,
right,
according to Mel Kiper and Todd McShay. That's why. But that, anyway, be that as it may, that's not the point of what we're talking about. Well, you were
I would rather have country music singer Allen Jackson playing for the Broncos than Josh Rosen. I will tell you that. I mean, but it goes through, like, you can go through, I wonder what the, just in the last 5 years, like in the last 5 years, the quarterbacks taken in the, let's call it the top 10. The quarterbacks taken, like how many are legit and how many, just the top 10 guys, how many are real and how many are considered busts?
Oh, that's a project for another day.
Seriously, in 2018, I mean, in 2018, right now, I mean, I think Baker Mayfield's considered closer to a bust than he is the real deal.
Correct.
Obviously, was Josh Rosen ninth overall?
Yes. Or no. How many teams was he going to make pay?
Nine. So I think he was 10. Number 10. Yeah. So he would fit in there. And Sam Darnold. And the only guy in that, if you're doing top 10, so you're just the 2018 draft right now, you're 1-3.
Correct.
If you go to 2017, Trubisky was it 2017 where Trubisky was number 2 overall, and I think Mahomes was 10. So right now you're 2 wins, 4 losses in just those two drafts. So, I mean, I don't know what 2019 and 2020 were, but the whole just pick one, any one will do is way off base. Just pick one because you're in the top 10. Just get one. That does not work. You've got to evaluate the right one. And then you have to have the right coaching staff in place to develop the guy. So, I mean, there's just so many things wrong with the philosophy, and I get it. You gotta eventually figure it out. You gotta figure out who's gonna play quarterback for you, because we all know if you don't have one, you're in trouble, right?
Sure, but my point, and another masterful job of him deflecting, which he's very good at. He's hard to pin down.
Mm-hmm.
But my point about Daniel Jones was, part of his argument is that the reason you take a quarterback, any quarterback, even if you don't love the quarterback, but you take the gamble on that quarterback, is because if it doesn't work out, you can just move on like Arizona did. And what I'm saying is that Arizona right now remains the outlier. Yeah, they did it, but right now they're the only one that has done it. Nobody else has had the guts to do what Steve Keim did in Arizona. Everybody else is doing what the Giants are doing, and that is somehow try to make it work with a guy that we all know isn't the answer. And instead of doing something bold like Arizona did, what is the Giants' plan? Let's start scapegoating coaches. Let's start firing offensive coordinators. Whatever we can do, whatever last-ditch efforts we can make to try to salvage this. I don't know why. Is it out of ego, pride, stubbornness, whatever? But the fact is, Daniel Jones is now 3 years in to a career that has shown he's not the guy. And time after time, franchises stick with these guys too long. And they make allowances. They make excuses. They find scapegoats instead of just manning up and admitting, this guy isn't the guy. And so that's what I was bringing up earlier today. And of course, he did not want to address that head on and admit that right now Arizona is the outlier. And that's why taking these quarterbacks, any quarterback, even if you don't love them, take them. It'd be one thing if it was clear that the NFL had learned from what Arizona did and they would be able to jettison these guys after 1 or 2 years. Then I'd put some merit in it. No one's doing that. And Tyler had a line the other day. I want to give Tyler Palumbus credit for this because I think it's something you should steal.
Okay.
And I want to make sure I get it right because I think you see a lot of teams are in this no man's land with their quarterbacks where They look at their quarterback as being just good enough that it's going to be hard to replace him, but bad enough to know that you're never going to win big with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of these teams get paralyzed by the idea of, well, deep down we know he's not the guy. Deep down we know we're never going to win big with this guy. But we can compete. We may even be able to win more than we lose with this guy. And do we really want to have to dive back into that pool of uncertainty that is trying to find a quarterback? So you end up sticking with a guy or making allowances for a guy or scapegoating other people just to try to somehow make this thing work when everybody knows it's not.
I mean, I think it's 100% what people try to do. And unfortunately, you know, I mean, that's just it. Like, it's hard. I get that it's hard. And it's hard because people are trying to, you know, people try to keep their jobs too, right? I mean, like, one of the things that's interesting to me, seeing what's going on here in Chicago is, you know, Matt Nagy becomes the easiest guy to replace, right? The guy that you point the finger at and say, well, that he obviously just can't coach. Well, he did win 12 games with Mitch Trubisky and went to the playoffs twice with Mitch Trubisky, who is the backup in Buffalo right now, who there's no other way to say that as the number two overall pick, he's been a bust. But you did find a way to get to the playoffs with that guy. So maybe it's not the coach. Maybe it's the guy that's actually picking the players. Maybe it's the guy that's signing guys in free agency, and maybe it's the guy that's picking the players in the draft who is the real issue. Maybe that's the guy that you need to look at. Maybe that's the decision or the change that needs to happen. But, you know, obviously that guy kind of hides behind, you know, I mean, he hides behind. He's in the back room. You don't get to see that guy very often. So I don't know. I mean, you know, 2016, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, neither of them are playing with the teams that they were drafted by. Would you consider those guys, you know, successes?
No. 2017. No, I don't care. And by the way, Wentz can go on to have a great career with Indy. I don't care because your goal is not to draft a guy for you just with the idea that he'll go and excel somewhere else. That's not the plan. That's not the idea.
Right.
That's a failed pick for Philadelphia. That was a bust.
Right.
He's not there.
In 2017, you've got Trubisky and Mahomes. So Mahomes is on the good side, right? But Trubisky is a failure, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's what you have. That's what you have right now.
And these quarterbacks who got drafted in the last couple of years, right now they are incomplete, to be determined because it is all, are they getting second contracts with the teams that drafted them? And it's like that stretch that we went through, what was it, 2008 through 2017 or something, where all 23 quarterbacks that went in the first round were no longer with the team that drafted them. You have the benefit of time. And I think that this 5-year window we're in right now, check back with me in 5 years and let's see where these guys are at. Do they end up getting second contracts? Or are they simply Jameis Winston, Carson Wentz types who teams decided they needed to move on?
Right. And I think it's still too early to look at the 2020 draft and say, yeah, well, we know these guys are going to be good or we know these guys are going to be poor. But if you look at, so if you just go to the, let's just go to from 2015, and I'm just doing this, I'm just kind of rolling through this from just a quarterback standpoint. So from 2015 through 2019, because it gives you 19, 20, and now in 2021, the third year. And 2019 is only Kyler Murray, so I put him in the good category. So you win there on 2019, even though it's only, you know, 2.5 years of playing, okay? So you win. Oh, yeah, did Daniel Jones go in 2019? Okay, so that's a bad. So right now, if you just look at the quarterbacks from 2015, 2016, 2017, and 2018 and 2019. So that was that 5 years, 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, 5 years. You know what you got right now, Mike? You have got four guys who are quality quarterbacks in the, drafted in the top 10 in those years that you consider franchise guys. And you've got nine guys that are either playing for different teams or are on their way out of town. I don't know what percentage that is because I'm not good at math.
Well, it's bad. It's the kind of percentage
so the,
that
they pick anyone
find.
In the first in pick any quarterback that happens to be in the top 10, and that guy's going to be, you know, it, then you have a chance. What chance do you have? I mean,
you have a great chance of being the new Jets or new Browns or whatever that's searching for quarterbacks for 20, 30 years. Yeah. That's what your best chance is.
So that percentage, hold on, 9 divided by, oh, I'm going to do math, 4. Oh, wait a minute.
This is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.